Then shall we all stand.
Suntem cu toți.
I greet in the precious name of the Lord Jesus tonight. And you set me happy to be back in His presence. We welcome everyone that is here again. We are looking forward that the Lord will do the exceedingly abundantly above all we could ask or even think. I'm very happy tonight to see all the precious brothers and sisters, especially the ministering brothers that have gathered from different places, that we could be here together. May a full revelation of His love flow through us this evening. How many come looking for that? Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Let's sing, "I Just Want the Dove to Lead This Evening." Let the Holy Spirit go before us this evening. And whatever need you have, believe. Hallelujah.
Amen. Just want the dove to live this evening. I just want the dove.
Want to follow, lift your hands, let's worship Him.
Father, Lord, we are happy tonight. The Lord, in your great love and mercy towards us, you could appoint a time like this that we could be gathered together, coming from the east, coming from the north, coming from the west, coming from the south, Lord. Oh, God, to feast with the King, to dine with His guests. How blessed these pilgrims are. And Father, Lord, we so appreciate the dove, the Holy Spirit, most of all in our presence, the one, oh God, unto whom we are looking tonight. Oh God, He will lead us into a faith that we have never known, and He will bring us into a place where we can be lifted up in the power of God, and we can see the power of God produce the promise. Oh God, I've spoken, thus said the Lord unto us. Hallelujah. Father, I pray, oh God, that the Holy Ghost, Lord, just sweep over this congregation, wave after wave after wave of love divine. Hallelujah. Lord, you would bring us to one mind and one accord, Father, that, oh God, we can see every promise, hallelujah, every need that we would have being met in our midst, Lord, the sick,
would be healed. They will not go back out sick, oh God, but they will go back out walking and leaping and praising God. Hallelujah. Oh God, you provide every need that your people have. You are the great Jehovah Jireh, and we come tonight to see Jehovah Jireh provide for us, oh God, and give unto us what we have, that we might come to that full stature of Jesus Christ. We might recognize our position, that we might go forth under the inspiration of the revelation of your word, Lord, to manifest what you've spoken concerning us in this hour, that we could be about the Father's business. Hallelujah! A people in whom you can show forth your preeminences. Bless your servants in a special way. Bless every congregation. Identify with them. Bless every brother and sister, every father and mother, oh God. Hallelujah! Sanctify this place also. Lord God, you're provided for us to have these services. Hallelujah! May the pillar of fire, oh God, move from wall to wall, from the front all the way to the back. Hallelujah! And sanctify, drive out every evil spirit, oh God, that the Holy Spirit can work, oh God, and have prayer meetings in our midst. Bless me tonight. Bless your word in a special way. May God in power. May God with the clarity. The way will be made clear that your people might walk in, Lord, and have faith. Granted, Father, we commit ourselves in your hands now. Depend upon you for divine direction and leadership in all that we'll undertake to say or do. For we pray and ask these things in Jesus' precious name and for his glory. Amen. Amen. Let's turn our Bibles to the book of St. John, chapter 6. I want to take for a little title tonight. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Amen. Blessed be his name. We're going to begin reading from verse 28. St. John chapter 6. Then said they unto him, what shall we do that we might work the works of God? Jesus answered and said unto them, this is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he hath sent. They said therefore unto him, what sign showest thou then, that we may see and believe thee? What dost thou work? Our fathers did eat manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven. Luther, Wesley, and Pentecost gave you not that bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who cometh down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Remember that tonight. The bread of God is he. Amen. Who is come down from heaven and giveth life unto the world. Then said they unto him, Lord, evermore give us this bread. And Jesus said unto them, I am the bread of life. He that cometh to me, he shall never hunger. And he that believeth in me shall never thirst. But I said unto you that you also have seen me and believe not. All that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. For I came down from heaven not to do mine own will, but the will of him that sent me. And this is the Father's will who had sent me, that of all that he had given me, I should lose nothing. Hallelujah. But should raise it up again at the last day. Hallelujah. He will raise it up again at the last day. And this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone who seeth the Son and believeth on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day.
The Jews then murmured at him because he said, I am the bread that came down from heaven. Amen.
Amen.
And they said, is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? They thought it was a man from Nazareth, taking the promised word and identifying himself in itself. And it baffled them that they should do that. Amen. How is it then that he said, I came down from heaven? Hallelujah. And we know them from Bulawayo and Mutari. Amen. And Pretoria. How say them that I came down from heaven? Amen. Jesus therefore answered and said unto them, murmur not among yourselves. No man can come to me except the Father who hath sent me draw him. And he says it again, and I will raise him up at the last day. It is written in the prophets, and they shall all be taught of God. Every man therefore that hath heard and hath learned of the Father cometh unto me. Not that any man hath seen the Father except he who is of God. He hath seen the Father. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me hath everlasting life. I am the bread of life. Your fathers did eat manna in the wilderness. Your Baptist fathers, Methodist fathers, Pentecostal fathers did eat manna in the wilderness. Hallelujah. And are dead. The prophets say eternal separation from God. Amen. This is the bread that cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. If any man eat of this bread, he shall live forever. He shall live forever. And the bread I will give is my flesh, which I will give for the life of the world. The Jews therefore strove among themselves, saying, how can this man give us his flesh to eat? Then Jesus said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, except you eat the flesh of the Son of Man, not Son of God or Son of David, Son of Man, between the churches and the millennium, when he comes down from heaven again, hallelujah, when Son of Man is standing on the earth, hallelujah, saying he's the living bread that came down from heaven, and drink his blood, you have no life in you. He who eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood hath eternal life. And again he says it, and I will raise him up at the last day. He knew he is the resurrection. He knew the voice of the resurrection is inside of him. Hallelujah. For my flesh is meat indeed, and my blood is drink indeed. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me, and I in him. As the living Father hath sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that sent eateth me, even he shall live by me. This is that bread which came down from heaven. This is that bread which came down from heaven. Hallelujah. Not as your fathers did eat manna, and are dead. He that eateth this bread shall live forever. Revelation 10. The bread of God is he who cometh down from heaven between the 6 and 7 trumpets. Amen. Revelation 9, 13 to 21 is the 6th trumpet. Revelation 11, 15 to 19 is the 7th trumpet. And between the 6th and 7th trumpet, let us see something. And I saw another mighty angel come down from heaven. Amen. Come down from heaven, clothed with a cloud, and a rainbow was upon his head, and his face was as though it were a sun, and his feet like pillars of fire, and he had in his hand a little book open, and he set his right foot upon the sea, and his left foot on the earth, and cried with a loud voice, as when a lion roareth. And when he had cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. And when the seven thunders had uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel whom I saw standing upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven, and swore by him that liveth forever and ever, who created heaven and the things that are in it, and the earth and the things that are in it, and the sea and the things that are in it, that there should be time no longer. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God should be finished, as he had declared to his servants the prophets. There are two angels here, a heavenly angel and an earthly angel. Hallelujah. The revealing of the Son of Man. Amen. Glory. But the voice which I heard from heaven spoke unto me again and said, go and take the little book which is open in the hand of the angel who standeth upon the sea and upon the earth. And I went unto the angel and said unto him, give me the little book. And he said unto me, take it and eat it up. Take it and eat it up. This is the bread of life. It's the living bread that has come down from heaven. And it shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And I took the little book out of the angel's hand. That must be your testimony tonight. I then call your own name. Hallelujah. And then I have taken the book out of the angel's hand. Amen. And ate it up. And it was in my mouth sweet as honey. And as soon as I had eaten, my belly was bitter. And he said unto me, now that the word is in the flesh, thou must prophesy again among many peoples and nations and tongues and kings. One more scripture before you sit down. 1 Thessalonians 4. Amen. Hallelujah. I want to get he who come down from heaven. Amen. He is the bread of life. Revelation 10:1. Come down from heaven. On the earth. The bread of life is here. Amen. Hallelujah. What is the secret? He is in the bride. This is the secret. Then could the bride say, I am the living bread? Personal pronoun? Singular? I am the bread! The living bread! I wonder if they will say again, but isn't that those people from our city? Amen? Doesn't that person work on the same job with me? Amen. Verse 13. But I would not have you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning them who are asleep, that you sorrow not, even as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so them also who sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. He's talking about a group of people here, them who are asleep, them who also sleep in Jesus. For this we say unto you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain unto the coming of the Lord, when that seventh seal is pulled back, when the blast that shakes the earth and seven angels appear in a pyramid. Hallelujah! We who are alive, another group now, we who are alive and remain, amen, unto the coming of the Lord, when all six ages are asleep and there's one age awake, and that seventh seal book that held a mystery that they lived out by faith, amen,
is going to be made known and show what God did. Down to seven church ages. Then it will be gathered up in a little group of the true seed that God will present to Christ for a bride. And in the last days, she will be the super church, the super race. As she nears him, she will be in his own image in order to be united with him. And the two shall become one in flesh, in life, in works, in signs, in wonders. Hallelujah! Bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh, faith of his faith, life of his life. In that day, you will know, as I was in the Father, and the Father in me, I in you, and you in me. Where do we stand tonight? Do we stand tonight? Seeing through the glass, face to face, knowing we have been changed into the image, and we are knowing as we were known. Do we stand here, or do we still have amnesia? Amen! Are we still seeing through a glass darkly? Are we still seeing only the historical part? The part that the prophet says, this day is this scripture fulfilled? Or are you seeing the attraction turned from the prophet to his prophecy, and his prophecy is becoming history, and you have a testimony that it is coming to pass in your life? Amen. We must stand here. Until we stand here, our amnesia has not completely left us. Amen. We will rejoice around the world, but we wouldn't be prepared and make ready for it to happen. Amen. But holy faith, the holy faith of God, united with the holy works of his bride, will create the promise of this hour. Do you believe that? Amen. For the Lord himself shall descend from heaven. He who is come down from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words. Not any words. These words of that threefold mystery. Comfort one another in these perilous times. Hallelujah! When the world council is taken up and the press is coming down, comfort one another with these words. Hallelujah! While Peter yet spake these words, these sayings are faithful and true. Seal not up these things, because the time is at hand. Amen. May the Lord add his blessing to the reading of his word. You may have your seat. Praise his wonderful name. Amen. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Amen. So just settling tonight for the little opening service. We just want to look in on those things. Because I believe that we're in a changing of time and a changing of ministry. Amen. And as you look around today and you see the people of the message, they are behaving the same way as they behaved in the first time when that ministry of the Son of Man was revealed on the earth in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. When he had come to this stage of his ministry, amen, we see the people behaving exactly the same way again. And no doubt, where he is veiled in flesh, it will behave the same way again. Amen. When the prophet was here on the earth, having a perfect understanding of the word of God. There was a lot for this age, and recognizing it was coming to pass in his life as he looked into the scriptures and saw how the same ministry that he had was the ministry that Jesus had reincarnated, as it was promised according to St. Luke 17:30 in the last days. And the prophet, knowing that the ministry of the Son of Man came to Abraham, came to the natural seed, and was promised to the royal seed. Amen. It came to Jews, it came to Samaritans, but it never came to the Gentiles. And it was promised to come to the Gentiles. So he looked at those things because he was a typologist. He said, any man who knows the Bible would be a typologist. Amen. Because Paul, he had a revelation that the Old Testament was a shadow of the New Testament. And the prophet says the Old Testament and the New Testament is a shadow of today. Amen. So the prophet looked at those things, knowing that when the reality appears, it must be the perfect matching piece to what was foreshadowed in the Bible. Amen. Now the angel of God was teaching him the word a certain way. He said the last day messenger, when he comes and begin to teach, he will be misunderstood by many theologians because he's teaching the scripture a certain way. But in the church age book, page 156, he said this message would be received by a certain qualified group in a certain way. Page 63 to 65, Wisdom versus Faith. He said Jesus knew the Bible a certain way. He said Satan knew the Bible just as good as Jesus did. Amen. But it couldn't work for him because he knew it by a head knowledge. But Jesus, by faith in the revelation that he was the predestinated word manifested for that hour. Amen. When he saw his position identified in the world, when he saw his life, his predestinated life was bringing to light what the Jews thought was Jewish history. Amen. Jesus was revealing that was not Jewish history. It was a mystery of prophecy of the Messiah. Hallelujah. And when he stood there at the end of the Old Testament, he gathered up that word. Amen. Into his life. Hallelujah. And he began to prove he was the principal team of the Old Testament. Hallelujah. He proved he was the matching piece to every promise. Hallelujah. And that those things was written specifically for him. Hallelujah. God didn't write the autobiography of those people in the Old Testament. He took out certain parts of their life. Hallelujah! And those certain parts of their life that he recorded held the mystery of the life and ministry of the Messiah. Even in this day, when the prophet came, he looked back in the Bible and he knew that Jesus gathered up all the prophets into his life, because this Son of Man was the God prophet. Amen. And all those prophets, from Abel right down to the last one, they were foreshowing different phases of the life of the Messiah. And then the prophet in this day, having the same ministry, the spirit of a prophet upon him, caused him to look at every prophet in the Bible. Amen. And he took every prophet. He preached about Noah. He preached about Abraham. He preached about Amos. He preached about Isaiah, who was himself. Hallelujah. Because the life of God that was in Isaiah wasn't Moses. He said it was Christ. Hallelujah. Was Christ was the Word in every age being revealed in part. No one age, no one prophet could reveal the complete mystery. Amen. But at the end of the Old Testament, it was all gathered up into one body of flesh. And he stood there and proved it all pointed towards him. Amen. Hallelujah. And he said Jesus knew the word a certain way. Hallelujah. That is why it worked for him. He didn't come to explain all about the feast. He was the feast of the Passover. Amen. He took the bread. He said, this is my body. Amen. He looked at the wheat. He said, I am the corn of wheat. Hallelujah. He looked at the lamb. He knew he was the Lamb of God. That was to be slain. The feast of the Passover. Amen. He knew he was the manifestation of those things. Amen. All those Jewish scholars, they explained how Moses wrote these things and what it meant and all the different angles of it. But when Jesus comes, he said, I am the true bread. Hallelujah! I am that living bread that has come down from heaven. Amen. Hear what the prophet says. And the seven church ages, page 292 and 293, he was speaking about Revelation chapter 3, verse 7, where it says, these things saith he that is true. And he wanted to bring to our understanding the true meaning of the word true that was written in the scripture. He said, now this word true is a very wonderful word. It does not mean true in just the sense that it is opposite to false. It expresses the perfect realization of an idea as contrasted with its partial realization. Amen. For example, we recall that Jesus said in St. John chapter 6, verse 32, Moses gave you not that bread from heaven, but my Father giveth you the true bread from heaven. In John 15, 1, he said, I am the true vine. Amen. Hebrews 9:24. For Christ did not enter into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. 1 John chapter 2, verse 8. Because the darkness is past, and the true light now shineth. And the prophet says, since this word indeed expresses perfect realization as against the idea of partial realization, we can now understand as never before antitype contrasted with type and substance with shadow. Take the example now of manna from heaven. God sent down angel bread from heaven for Israel. But that bread did not satisfy. It was only good for a day. Those who ate it were hungry again the next day. It was left around. It became contaminated. But Jesus is the true bread from heaven, whereof manna was just a type. And if any man eats of that bread that came down from heaven, he will never hunger again. He doesn't need to come back and eat again. The moment he partook, he had eternal life. Here indeed was reality. No need any longer for a shadow. No need for partial salvation. Yea, the whole of it. Just like Jesus isn't a part of God, He is God. Revelation 10:1. Isn't a part of God, He is God.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Luther had a portion of the Holy Spirit. Where there's a portion of the Holy Spirit. The Pentecost had a portion of the Holy Spirit. But in the last days, all is gathered up to reveal the Son of Man, the person of Christ. Not the gifts, the life of the gifts, the fullness of the Godhead bodily manifested in human flesh to reveal the Son of Man, like in Genesis 18, when God came in human flesh before He changed the body. Amen. No one could deny that Israel had light. He says, they were the only people who had light as a nation. Let me say this tonight. No one can deny the bride have light. In tape and book form. Evening light. Spoken by a prophet. The only nation. Amen. All them denominations. They don't have no light. They live in a glare. Amen. See, it was as when Egypt was so dark. No one could feel it. But in the house of the Israelites, there was light. Amen. Because darkness in the land today, death is striking everywhere. And the children of Israel have the bride. But now true light is come. The light of the world is Jesus. Listen to this carefully. Moses and the prophets brought the light by means of the scripture relative to the Messiah. Isaiah brought light. Moses brought light. Jeremiah brought light. Amen. Hosea brought light by means of the scripture relative to the Messiah. Does Israel have light? Amen. For the past 20 years, many have brought light by means of the scripture and the books relative to the bride. And so we have light. Amen. Teachings about the bride. What she will be. What she will do in the last days. How she will go in the rapture. How she will come back in the millennium. Amen. Teachings concerning the bride. Amen. It says Moses and the prophet brought the light by means of the scripture relative to the Messiah. Thus Israel had light. But now the fulfillment of the light has come. Jesus didn't come teaching about the Messiah. He took the scripture and He identified Himself in the Word. Hallelujah! How will we not apply? Amen. How will we know? Would she come teaching about the bride? She would come and take the word that speaks of the bride and prove that she's the matching piece. Hallelujah. Identify herself in that word to reveal the life and ministry of that bride. Amen.
Yes, sir. Amen.
What was but a glowing word has now broken forth into the brightness of God, manifested amongst His people. Amen.
Amen.
Then when He came back to the Laodicean age, page 333 and 334, He was speaking about He is the true witness. And He says, now this word true is the same word we saw back in Revelation 3:7. He said, you recall that it does not mean true as in contrast with false. It has a richer, deeper meaning by far. I'm reading you this so we can break into the understanding what Jesus was teaching to them Jews. When he said, you eat manna. Amen. Because in St. John 6, he was preaching to those Jews who were obeying a past hour. Amen. Speaking about a historical God. And here he was taking the word and showing you the fulfillment. Amen. He wanted to bring them to a present tense. Hallelujah. Understanding that God is not God back there. He's God here now. Amen. Amen. And the prophet is bringing out this in these seven church ages. Amen. Amen. Now back in the Philadelphian age, the coming of the Lord is drawing nigh. What great love that age manifested for him. It reminds me of those beautiful words of 1 Peter chapter 1 verse 8. Whom have you not seen yet you love? In whom though you see him not? Yet believing. Amen. You rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. With them we rejoice also. He said, we haven't seen him, but we have felt him. We know him now as much as our limiting senses can let us. But one day, it will be face to face. He said, that is for this age. Amen. You will not see through a glass darkly no more. You will see face to face. That is for this age. Like Jacob back at Peniel. Means face to face. Hallelujah! Amen. When the morning star was in the sky, at daybreak, it was the darkest time, just before dawn, and God's mystery in heaven was being manifested on the earth. Because God was separating light from darkness in heaven, and he was separating Israel from Jacob on the earth. Amen. And that mighty angel came down at the breaking of the day. Hallelujah. And Jacob, transforming power, was transforming him into Israel. Amen. He said, I see face to face. He called it place Peniel. 1 Corinthians 13, verse 12 and 13. Amen. It says, we see through a glass darkly. But when thou just perfect is come, we'll see face to face. It won't be through a glass darkly no more. It won't be some obscured vision no more. It won't be Jewish history no more. Amen. But we'll see face to face. Amen. We are being changed from glory unto glory. Behold, in the glory of the Lord is in a mirror. And are changed into the very image of the glory of the Lord. Amen. And the prophet says, one day you'll see face to face. That is for this age. Amen. He is coming at the end of this age. At the end of the latest age, he will be coming. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory.
Yes, sir. Amen.
Partial realization will be made perfect realization. Complete realization. We have been looking through a glass darkly, he says. Amen. He was watching the time when the bride would see face to face. He wasn't seen through a glass dark because he took the scripture and identified himself. Hallelujah! He revealed the threefold secret that God had in the back part of his mind. That angels, nobody never knew. Amen. He was changed into the image. And God struck him and said, speak, to prove he was in the image. And he spoke.
and brought things into existence. Amen. So then it means he was looking for us. Amen. To see face to face. That day when our amnesia will leave us. Amen. We have been going from glory to glory. But soon it will be right in the glory. And his glory will shine. We shall be like him. Wondrously like him. Jesus, our Savior divine. Isn't that wonderful, he says? We are complete in him. That is true. He would not lie to us about it. Amen. Unveiling of God. Page 36. Here again, he was speaking to bring us to realization what light is. He says, so now we are invited into him to be partakers of all that he is. Because those seven seals that had veiled God, that had hid God from the reformers. Hallelujah! Amen! He was now unveiling him, tearing back that veil and bringing the hidden word that was hid down through the ages into plain view to the people that they could see the genuine mercy seat. Hallelujah! Standing there before them to see where the Shekinah glory was. Amen. And he was saying, we are invited now into him to be partakers of all that he is. We are invited into him, which is hid to unbelievers by the veil of human flesh. They know that glory. They read of it. It's in the word here. Amen. Of the glory of God and things like that. It's just a word to them. To us, it's a manifestation. It's no more a word. It's a reality. Amen. God said, let there be light. That was the word. But now there is light. It ain't the word no more. It's the light. Hallelujah. God spoke on a bride. God spoke on a fall of the seventh seal that passed in the unknown language. It was a word. It was here in the book. It was to make a cycle and to come back around. It's no more just a teaching. It's a manifestation. It's a fulfillment of the bride coming in this hour to take the scriptures and identify herself and prove she is the matching piece. Not just bring a teaching relative to the bride, not just bringing light by means of the scriptures relative to the bride, hallelujah, but the fulfillment of that light when the word herself takes the word itself and identify herself in itself and prove that a greater than Sarah, a greater than Esther, a greater than Ruth is here on the earth. Glory. Amen. Yes,
glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen. Yes, sir.
Amen.
Amen.
See, now we join him, he says.
Yes, you know,
now we behold him.
Yes, you know,
now we see him manifesting himself. It's hid out there. Because why? It's veiled in human flesh. Hallelujah! What kind of flesh was he promised to be revealing? In the Old Testament, with the unbadged skins. In the New Testament, he was in the corporate body. But in the last days, he's been human flesh. Hallelujah!
Amen.
There would be a perfect faith when that revelation began to bed down in the heart of the elected seed. And then I'll just read about something there and have little imaginations. But when they see that word become personalized in their very own life. So here was Jesus in John chapter 6. He was preaching to the Jews. And he was preaching the word in such a way those Jews, they say he's perverting the people with strange doctrine, because he was teaching the word a certain way. Amen. Hallelujah. He was applying the scripture in such a way, amen, that he was showing them it meant more than just a historical thing. It meant more than just a historical thing. Amen. And here for the past 20 years, we know the prophet people are bride. The restoration of the bride tree. There would be a super church, a super race in the last days. He preached about the house of God will live again. The pyramid shall stand again. The tree of life shall bloom again. If there's another branch, come out of the root. It will bring forth the same kind of fruit like the first branch, because you have seen in the scripture a promise of a restoration. The same way Paul saw a restoration of Israel in the last days and preached it, the prophet saw a restoration of the bride out of the scriptures and preached it. Hallelujah. And the same way that God showed John the 144,000 in tribal order. Hallelujah. Under the sixth seal in Revelation 7, we have been called 12,000 tribe. Amen. And John spoke those things. The same way God showed the prophet the bride in a vision in national order. Hallelujah. Coming out to all nations wearing the national dress and marching onward, Christian soldiers. Amen. And he preached it because it was in the world. Then God showed a vision. But there must be a people who would come forth to identify that they were that one, many of the prophets, they saw the Messiah in visions, and they preached about him. They saw John the Baptist in vision, they preached about him. They saw Mary conceiving by the Holy Ghost in vision, and they preached about her. Hallelujah! And the hour came when that vision, the word of God being revealed in one season, was being manifested. Those people, when they were quickened by the Holy Ghost, amen, it wasn't just a blessing, it wasn't just a teaching, it brought them into a realization that they were the present tense word being manifested. They recognized the position and they went forth with the inspiration of that revelation in their heart. Hallelujah! Anointing everything. Hallelujah! They were tied to that revelation. Amen! And that's what faith does. Faith is revelation. And works is faith expressed. There's no other way for the revelation to be truly expressed other than the person preparing and making ready. The actions show that word is already pulsating inside of them. Hallelujah!
Amen.
But what do you find in this hour? A lot of people, oh, they're full up of all kinds of different things. Amen. But when that word in this hour must come personalized, and we must know that he is in us and we in him. He said it. He said, you will know it. You know why you will know it? I'll take your amnesia away. Hallelujah. You will hear from your theophany. Hallelujah. And you will know who you are. Amen. In that day, when he pulled them seals back and revealed the plan of redemption. Amen. When the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world and those names was put in the book. Hallelujah. Then in the sounding of that seventh angel message, when every mystery, when all the elect who are in the book is being revealed. Hallelujah! You will recognize there's part of the book to be manifested present tense in the day
that you are living in, and you will recognize you are that part. Hallelujah! Because if your part was already fulfilled, you'd be in the grave waiting for the resurrection. Hallelujah! Because in every age, when they lived out a part, they went to sleep. They were sealed unto the day of redemption. They lived in the days of intercession. And the messengers was catching the mystery of redemption, not fully revealed, because they were not going to live long enough to see the day of redemption. Hallelujah! And from Paul to the elected Pentecostals lived in the days of intercession. Hallelujah! By the end of the Pentecostal age, when Son of Man is being revealed, amen, look up, lift up your head, because your redemption's right now. He is coming with a title deed of redemption for Sunday Jubilee. Hallelujah! Right. In the 50th year, after seven church ages, after seven Sabbaths, in the 50th year, Revelation 10, hallelujah, to take you back to your inheritance, to your rightful position, to call you out of every walled city, and to bring you back to stand again in the place, in the inheritance that God has given you. Amen. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
So there's no way you can think of that slave who hear that trumpet sound. When you see that priest, when he sees that priest in that white horse with a military prance riding through the land blowing a trumpet. Amen! Revealing a mystery of redemption in the 50th year. Because the Jubilee, it was redemption in the 50th year being revealed to those who were outside the God-given inheritance to bring a true restoration back to the original promises. Hallelujah! Then from the time that slave hears that song, it brings something in his heart. It gives him courage. It gives him faith. Throw away the hoe. Throw away the shovel. Hallelujah! To challenge. Hallelujah! The slave master. Amen! To walk out the walled city. And they don't just go anywhere. He knows that message is saying, you're going back home. You're going back to your inheritance. Because all those years, deep in his heart, he bypassed something. Hallelujah! Glory! And he was checking the time. Amen. Faithfully. Sincerely. He was checking the time. Because he knows, according to the economy of God. Amen. In the 10th day of the 7th month, in the 50th year. Hallelujah. There must come a priest. Brother Branham, he said, I will prove to you by the end of the 7th age, we are promised a message. Hallelujah. That will reveal the whole secret of God, to reveal to the church how to enter into a rapture in faith, that these vile old mad bodies would be changed. Hallelujah! And bring us back to a full redemption. Hallelujah! He was checking the time. He was watching in the economy of God. Amen. He knew God keeps his word. Hallelujah. And when we hear that message, that is the message we have heard, then that slave is obsessed. A deep, calling to the deep. The prophet says, things that ought to be. Page 36. He said, oh, children, it's getting late evening time. Do you crave them vitamins? Do you feel that call to go back to that perfection? Hallelujah! A deep. Call into that deep. Amen. To bring it back. When he preached things that ought to be. He preached it December the 5th, 1965. The day before, he had preached the rapture. He couldn't finish his message. They wanted the hall where he was preaching. So he came back the next night. He said, I just want to tie this message with yesterday. Yesterday he took 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And for the first time in his ministry. Amen. He had never touched that scripture before. For 3 years, from 1963 to 1965, he was preaching Revelation 10, 1 to 7. Amen. Page 43. What shall I do with Jesus called Christ? Amen. He said the book is already opened. Only waiting for the seventh seal to be identified with the coming of Christ. Hallelujah. Then on the rapture, December the 4th, 1965, about 3 weeks before he crossed the great divide. Hallelujah. Amen. The Holy Spirit, many a night before, he had tried to preach a message, but the Holy Spirit was waiting for him to preach under the wing of a snow-white dove. The dove-leading eagle, where he said, my next message, me a old man, God heal me, I'll write his tale one more time. I've got to bring a message. He said, my next message. Amen. We know there's only 7 messages. There's no more next message. But there's another fall of the same message. So after he preached on the wings of a snow-white dove, and he came the next night, and he preached a rapture. Amen. A few days after, he preached a rapture. No message in between. And he took 1 Thessalonians 4:16. And he took a shout. And he said, this shout, the Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout. He said, that's the opening of the seven seals. Hallelujah. The seven seals was opened in symbol form in Revelation 6. Amen. But opened in reality form in Revelation 10, 1963. Amen. But here now, he took Revelation 10 and he tied it to 1 Thessalonians 4. Amen. Hallelujah. He said that the Lord himself shall descend to heaven is a shout. That's my message. The opening of the seven seals. What is it for? To gather the bride. Because when that angel came down, he cried a loud voice, come out of all my people. Call them out of blasphemous names into the only provided place. Hallelujah. Where he was going to meet with the true believers. Amen. And then the prophet identified for 3 years, 63, 64, 65, that shout was actually taking place. Amen. The seventh seal was being identified with the coming of the Lord. Then afterwards, he said, no, there's another fold, the voice of the archangel. He said, no, that's a voice of the resurrection. Hallelujah. And he take that voice, the part after the shout, and he put it on this side of the rapture. He didn't put it on the Jewish side because he said that voice will bring the resurrection. Hallelujah! Then if that voice is to bring the resurrection, it has to be on this side of the rapture. Hallelujah! Because at the last trumpet, amen, the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. That is the time, the last trumpet. What time does the dead in Christ raise incorruptible? At the first trumpet? No. At the second trumpet? No. Third, fourth, fifth, and sixth? No. At the last trumpet, the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. But the voice that raises the dead at the last trumpet, it comes after the shout and before the last trumpet. Hallelujah! It comes after the opening of the seven seals. It comes after the shout and before the last trumpet. Amen. So Brother Branham came next night after the rapture. Amen. And reveal John 14. Jesus saying, I will come again. Hallelujah. When I go to prepare a place for you, he said, no, that is not He said that's your theophanies. A house eternal in the heavens. Made without hands. Then King Theophany Jesus. Hallelujah. Come for you. Amen. Who names were in the book? He prepared for you. And he comes to gather you unto himself. That where he is, you will be also. So in John 14, Jesus said, I will come again. But when this mystery of this coming unfolded to Paul, it was a threefold mystery. Now Jesus never said, I will come in a shout, a voice, and a trump. He said, I will come again. You'll see the Son of Man coming in the cloud with power and great glory. Amen. He didn't say, I will come out with the open book in the hand. Amen. He didn't say it that way. He could have said it. He could have said it that way. But he didn't do it. Amen. He just said, I will come again. But Paul, the messenger of the age, and who is caught up in the third heaven, he didn't just see the second coming. He saw the third coming too. Hallelujah! In Revelation 19, John sees Jesus coming out of heaven with a name written on his thigh. King of kings and Lord of lords. But when Paul was caught up into the third heaven, amen, before John saw him coming out of heaven, Paul said in his own times, he will show who the only true potentate, King of kings and Lord of lords. Hallelujah! Paul says when he comes, he will destroy the man of sin with the brightness of his coming and with the spirit of his mouth. Hallelujah! 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Amen. Look at Paul in 1 Thessalonians 4. The Thessalonian church was a little confused about the coming of the Lord, about that secret mystery of the seventh seal. And after they stoned Paul and they run him out of Thessalonica, he couldn't go back. So he sent Timothy. So Timothy came back to Paul and he told him, he said, they're shaking in mind, they're troubled in spirit, all kind of ideas prevailing. Amen. So Paul began to write. He said, I wouldn't have you be ignorant, brethren. Hallelujah. Concerning them who are asleep. Amen. And he began to reveal his vision that he had received from the Lord of how the Lord was going to come in a threefold mystery of how I will come again will be interpreted. Amen. And in 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16, Paul could have said, the Lord shall descend from heaven after six trumpets are sounded. But he didn't say that way. Amen. He could have said, the Lord shall descend from heaven when the seventh angel messenger will be on the earth at that time. But he didn't write all those things that way. Amen. Because Paul and John saw the same vision. It's the same coming. It's not another coming. What are you going to prove that by the Bible tonight? Amen. Paul and John saw the same vision. But Abraham saw the same vision. What time is it, sirs? Because he took that vision and said it must be interpreted by the scripture. And he went to John's vision in Revelation 10:1-7 to interpret his vision. Hallelujah! And then he took Paul's vision and John's vision and tied them to his life, to the opening of the seven seals. What time is it, sirs? Amen. Hallelujah. Now watch. Paul speaks of his vision. 1 Thessalonians 4. And chapter 5 also. Then he continues his vision in 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. While he was writing that letter and telling about how the Lord shall descend from heaven,
with a shout, with a voice of the archangel, with a trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them to meet the Lord in the air. And then he began to exhort them. He saw the need, not just to pour out everything in that one letter. He began to exhort them right there. He said, but of times and seasons, brethren, you have no need. Amen. That I write you these things, because you yourself know that the day of the Lord come like a thief in the night. And then he went back and picked up Isaiah 60. Amen. Isaiah 59 and 60, where Isaiah says, we look for an intercessor. And there was none. Amen. But the Lord had put on the garments of vengeance. Because Paul knew when Jesus went in the temple and took the book and read half the scripture, he left the day of vengeance for his second coming. So when he comes the second time, he had to pick up that scripture. And that was in Isaiah 59 also. It was in Isaiah 61. It was in Isaiah 63. All speaking of the day of vengeance. And Paul picked it up, and he came down to light and darkness, because he began to exhort them. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that day should have taken you as a thief. You are all children of the light and sons of the day. You are not of the night or darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep. Why? Because the Lord has descended. Amen. He was shown in his vision. He knew when the Lord would be coming. Son of Man be revealed. Because that was the promise before the resurrection. Amen. Listen carefully. We're going to point out a lot of things here tonight. But to show you that Paul, John, the prophet, saw the same vision. And the prophet tied his life into the seventh seal, into the coming of the Lord. Amen. What Jesus said in the first person, in the corporal body, I am the bread of life that come down from heaven. Amen. I will raise them up at the last day. That is not going to be fulfilled in the corporal body. That is going to be fulfilled in human flesh. Amen. Because when Jesus said, I will come again, and Paul said with a shout, he didn't come in the corporal body with a shout. The prophet, a man like you and me, amen, saw that word unfold into his life, and he was not ashamed of his revelation to identify that that was taking place in his own life. Amen. Because the voice of the archangel is the voice of the resurrection. The same voice that called Lazarus in the grave. So the voice of the archangel is what will raise the dead at the last day. This day, then that is not the corporal body. Amen. So there must be a people. Amen. Who must step forward and take that scripture that Jesus spoke. Amen. Because remember, Jesus saw David speak in the first person. They pierced my hands and feet. Amen. He never said that David had to come in the flesh and do that. Amen. But you know something? All the Jews thought that. Look at Acts 2. They made a big controversy with Peter when he was saying that Jesus was the Holy One who saw corruption. And the Jews challenged him. They said, I'm David. And Peter said, couldn't be. But David saw corruption and his tomb is right here. Amen! Peter was telling them, David spoke in the first person by the Holy Ghost. But Jesus came and took that word and applied to himself. Hallelujah! And the Jews remained looking for David to do that. And Jesus went on and fulfilled it. Amen! Because this bride is he and her. And he know all what he spoke that pertains to his second coming. And we are in his second coming. Amen. And the bride know it is he and her. Did the prophet say it? Fulfilling his own word that he left for this time? Did he left a portion to preach to the lost and to raise the sleeping saints for this time? Did he left a portion? Amen. Amen. The prophet said everything that Jesus was supposed to do in that hour that he lived in, he did it. Everything except the corporal body. Amen. Then wouldn't the last part be interpreted the same way? Because Genesis 18, St. Luke 7, 30, Revelation 7, 7, the revealing of the Son of Man in a day like Sodom, is God in human flesh? Unless the bride don't step to take that scripture and anoint it and see it interpreted in our own lives and produce in the very hour it's supposed to produce, she might bring as much light as she could. Amen. By means of the scripture relative to the bride. But I won't do it. Amen. Jesus recognized his position in the word and he relied on what the word said it was. He had faith in the knowledge that he was that word, and that is why the word could work in him. Amen. Now, if this portion that we are taking, because remember the resurrection is not under the first six seals. But about the six seals and the Easter seal. And the Easter seal is the resurrection seal. Because the resurrection is for redemption. And the seventh seal is the seal of redemption. Amen. So there must be a people to take that word. The Holy Spirit in the prophet direct him to the scripture that spoke of what he had to do for that hour. And when it was revealed to him, he didn't just preach a message and leave it like that. He went under the inspiration and worked with that anointing of that scripture until that scripture became history. And then he said, this day is this fulfilled in your hands.
Amen.
He did it on the basis of the faith of the scripture.
Amen.
And the same Holy Ghost who was revealing the Son of Man in human flesh in the last days that inspired to him the first part of the scripture that pertained to him, wouldn't the same Holy Spirit bring the continuation to the people who have to finish the ministry of the Son of Man?
Amen.
If it's the same Holy Spirit, he would do it. Amen. We wouldn't build little schools of thought. It would have to come a manifestation. Amen.
Amen.
When he said, let there be light, that was the word. But when the light came, was no more the word, was the light. Amen. When Jesus came, he was the fulfillment in the first Exodus. When they came out with Moses, manna came down and they ate it. It sustained them in the journey as they journeyed to the promise. In the second Exodus, he was the living bread that came down with the word in flesh. And in the third Exodus, in the last days, the same God failed again in human skins as that ministry repeats itself to Gentiles in the last days.
that when that bride comes, amen, and knows that he who is coming from heaven, who does all three things, hallelujah! He was in the prophet, and he did the first thing. Hallelujah! And the prophet went on the scene, and the actor remained. He just changed his mask. Not changing actors, changing mask. Hallelujah! One actor acting many parts. He had to act three parts before he got to the Jews. Hallelujah! And he had one part in the prophet, and he veiled himself to act another part. And when he changed from the prophet to the bride, his mystery changed from the shout to the voice. Hallelujah!
Yes, sir.
Then the same way, the prophet knew it was he and him. Not a gift, not a sensation, the life of the Holy Ghost in the person, the perfect matching piece, proven he was the Word for the hour. Hallelujah! And God was vindicating that Word. Amen. Making the interpretation sure. Hallelujah!
Glory! Yes, sir! Amen!
Amen!
Yes.
So when Paul saw that vision of the Son of Man, he taught these things from the Old Testament. Because the Old Testament was the Bible. And they had to build upon the foundation of the apostles and the prophets. Jesus, the chief cornerstone, he was the principal theme of the entire Bible. Amen. And when Paul began to teach those things, he saw Jesus quoted Genesis 18 and tell us Genesis 18 is a promise for the last days. And Paul knew if Jesus said Genesis 18 is to come the last days. Amen. The Son of Man will be revealed. The Son of Man was revealed before the change of body. Is that right? The Son of Man in the Old Testament was revealed before Abraham and Sarah became back young with the type of the resurrection. The Son of Man was revealed before God burned those Gentile cities with fire, which is a type of the Gentile world to be burned with fire in the last days when the Son of Man is revealed.
Amen.
Then Peter knew that John the Baptist was not Elijah of Malachi 4. Amen! So the early church was looking for a promise of Elijah. They was looking for a promise of the Son of Man to be revealed. Amen! Before the resurrection.
Amen!
Amen! Because Peter says, the heavens will receive Jesus until the time of the restoration of all things. And Jesus himself, who promised the Son of Man to be revealed in Matthew 17, 11. And then Jesus gives them the promise of the Son of Man to be revealed just before the earth is burned with fire too. Like Sodom and Gomorrah was burned with fire. Amen. And I'm trying to show you that the prophet, a man in this generation, when he stood up and he said, you're not feeding on a man, you're feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man.
Amen.
Amen. Isn't that wrong? It is not wrong to say that way. Amen. If we know who we are, if our amnesia have left us, if the mess have had the kind of effect in our lives it was sent to have and to bring us to know, amen, who we are,
what we stand for, and that we can do the greater works, which is the spoken word, which is the power we had back in Eden before the fall. And the prophet, when he knew it was God in him, I knew, and you in me, then he could take St. Mark 11:23. If you say to the mountain, why? Because I knew, say those things. Amen. Hallelujah. And he manifested those things to prove that he stood in that place. He lived in that world. And in perfect faith, he says, we are teaching deeper things to rub the make-believe out, to see the faith lifted in a higher bracket. Amen! Because when those seven thunders uttered voices to the little group, they wouldn't just jump and roll on the floor. They will take the word and hand it there. It will create billions of flies if that is what God wants. Amen. And when the squeeze comes, watch them. Amen. Take that word. Amen. It will flash like lightning. It will start the rapture in faith. Then if we see the squeeze coming in infancy, shouldn't the third pole and third pole faith be here among the people who have said and claimed that they have had a revelation of those seven thunders, which was to reveal what part of the world they are, not somebody else's part? Hallelujah! Wouldn't there be a people living under the inspiration of these things? There ought to be in this hour. Amen! There should be a people who are not afraid to step out and take that word. Hallelujah! Amen. But you say, where faith is preached, the children live. Where wisdom is preached, they die. Amen. These things were to literally turn our heart back to the faith of the fathers. Amen. Listen to this. Page 63. Anointed ones in the end time. The prophet said, I have no more to do with it than nothing. No more than just a voice. And my voice, even against my better judgment, I wanted to be a trapper. A hunter. Like a hunter. I want to be a trapper. But it is the will of my Father that I declare to do and I'm determined to do. I wasn't the one that appeared on the river. I was only standing there when he appeared. I am not the one that performed these things and foretell these things that happened as perfect as they are. I'm only one that's near when he does it. I was only a voice that he used to say it. Hallelujah! It wasn't what I knew. It's what I just surrendered myself to. That he spoke through. It isn't me. It wasn't the seventh angel. It was a manifestation of the Son of Man. It wasn't the angel, his message. It was the mystery that God unfolded. It's not a man. It's God. Amen. Oh, we believe it today. Because the prophet is dead and gone. But when you sat there with your five senses, you would see a man taking the scripture that Jesus spoke in the first person and saying that is happening in his life. And it was going on there and then. What would the bride have to point to? Now the prophet could have preached a lot of messages and never point to Revelation 10:7. Never point to St. Luke 7:13. Never point to Malachi 4:5. What good would it have done us? Amen! And if we preach a lot of things, what are we pointing to? Say that God is here. Amen. God is being the past. That word now. But if we are afraid, if we are embarrassed, if we are uncertain, then not a revelation. Amen.
Amen.
The angel was not the Son of Man. He was the messenger from the Son of Man. The Son of Man is Christ. He said, He is the one that you're feeding on. You are not feeding on a man. A man is worth a fail. You are feeding on the unfailing body word of the Son of Man. Amen. And page 1661. He said, the Son of Man, Revelation 10, 1 to 7. He who came down from heaven, I was veiling the prophet. Hallelujah! He said, they were feeding upon the body world of the Son of Man. Page 27, on the rapture, he said, three things happen. A shout, a voice, and a trumpet has to happen before Jesus appears. Now a shout. Jesus does all three of them when he's descending. A shout is the message going forth first. The living bread of life bringing forth the bride. Hallelujah! What it was! God, he who comes down from heaven with the bread of life that they were feeding upon. And that very bread of life was the one who says, in the last days, I will raise you up. Hallelujah! And the prophet says, the next fall after the shout. Hallelujah! Glory! Thank you, Jesus. When he stands there in the shout, bringing a spiritual resurrection out of that denominationalism. That's what the shout does. It don't bring a physical resurrection. It brings a spiritual resurrection out of organizational base. But the voice of the resurrection, the next fall, what does it do? It will bring them out of the grave at the last trumpet. Hallelujah! And Jesus does those things when he's descending. And when he's descending, it's not in the corporal body. Hallelujah! It's in human flesh. Amen! No wonder the whole Pentecostal world looking for the corporal body in the sky, thinking that he's coming, and reject him when he come, according to Genesis 18, in human flesh, which was his promise. Amen. Then that prophet, he looked back in Genesis, just like Paul. And he knew Jesus spoke it, just like Paul. Because Paul says, at the last trump, the dead in Christ shall be raised incorruptible. And this mortal must put on immortality, and we shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. Then if Paul puts the resurrection, the new body, the change of body at the last trumpet, and the Son of Man has to be revealed before the last trumpet, before the change of body. Hallelujah!
Amen.
Then the Son of Man must come and be revealed and show the last sign before the change of body, before the last trumpet. And when John saw his vision, he saw the same vision, but John put him coming down after six trumpets. John revealed the time. Paul just said, the Lord shall descend from heaven with a shout, a voice, and a trump. He said, Jesus will be revealed with his mighty angels in flaming fire. Amen! To take vengeance. Isaiah 61, the second part. When he comes to be glorified. in his saints. Now Revelation 19, the third coming, amen, he come back with glorified saints. But the second coming, he come to be glorified in his saints. Hallelujah. Amen. Then Paul saw that same vision. Because when John saw it, John said, I see him coming. But John placed the time after six trumpets, before the seventh trumpet. He's coming down in a conjunction. Amen. And when he's coming down, John said the seventh angel would be on the earth at that time. And Brother Branham answers, this is the time. He said, my revelation is that the messenger of Revelation 3:14 is the same messenger as Revelation 10:7, and like John, he will be on the earth in the days when Jesus is coming, because he must introduce him to the people. Amen. So John saw that vision. When the prophet, knowing he was the seventh angel, when he saw his vision, what time is it, sirs? He went back to Revelation 10. Hallelujah! And interpreted his vision. And said, what was prophecy have become history. This day is this scripture fulfilled. Amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
So notice something. Paul, looking at the ministry of the Son of Man, he saw Jesus when he came on the earth. Amen.
Amen.
How he had his first Paul healing. We close off in a little while. Amen.
Amen.
Now what's something? That prophet, we may think it was an easy thing, but it took perfect faith. It took rapturing faith to identify himself in the seventh seal. That didn't take reason. Reason couldn't do that. Because he was going to face a world of theologians. Amen. But it was revealed. And in his life, the history was being made. And he proved that those scriptures was coming to pass. And God vindicated it. Amen. Now what's something? But that ministry didn't finish. He left part for us.
Amen.
He said, did he leave the voice of the archangel for us? The Son of Man ministry is always connected to the resurrection. At the end of that ministry, always comes the resurrection. In Genesis 18, he came with discernment, the sign, then he had the voice of the sign. Shall I hide this from Abraham? Amen. Before they change their body, before the Gentile world is burned in fire. Amen. So the Son of Man was revealed, and the resurrection took place at the end of the ministry of the Son of Man. Then when Jesus came on the earth and the Son of Man was being revealed to the Jews, he went forth with healing. His first Paul had discernment. Second Paul came forth with a spoken word. St. Matthew 21 came forth with the opening of the seven seals. St. Matthew 24. Amen. St. Matthew 27, the preaching to the lost. And St. Matthew 28, the resurrection. Amen. And between the opening of the word, St. Matthew 24, and the preaching to the lost, St. Matthew 27, Brother Abraham took Jesus in the squeeze, in the public crucifixion. Amen. He said, look, the shout, the voice, and the trump. Over here, in the first coming, look at over here, in the second coming also.
Amen.
So at the end of the ministry of the Son of Man, the resurrection was to take place. Amen.
Amen.
Now what's something quickly? Amen.
Amen.
We have skipped a lot of things here. Paul, knowing those seven feasts of Israel,
that the Feast of Pentecost was 7 months. Amen. You know, Brother Brown, many times he said 50 days, but he corrected that. It was 7 months. He said, a minister will pick that up somewhere. Amen. And those 7 months represented seven church ages. And the end of the Feast of Pentecost came the Feast of Trumpets. The blowing of those trumpets to gather back the scattered people. And in the Feast of Pentecost, Jesus was revealing himself as Son of God.
Amen.
Amen. Because in the Passover, in the unleavened bread, in the first fruits, he was Son of Man. Amen. Then the Feast of Pentecost, he was Son of God. Seven church ages. While the Jews is blinded and scattered. Amen. Then after the Feast of Pentecost came the Feast of Trumpets, which is to gather back the Jews after the seven church ages. Amen. And after the Feast of Trumpets, the Feast of Trumpets took place on the first day of the seventh month. And the tenth day of the seventh month, they recognized the atonement. They mourned for the sacrifice that was killed on the day of the atonement. Amen. And Israel was gathered back in the homeland, and the six-point star David flew in 1946, and the prophet between the gathering of Israel. Hallelujah. And Israel recognizing the atonement. Amen. Between the Feast of the Trumpets and the Feast of the Atonement, he went forth with healing. The ministry of the Son of Man began to unfold in the first pour, healing, discernment. Then he came to the spoken word. Then he came to the opening of the word. Amen. And he revealed it, preaching to the lost. Hallelujah. But he went off the scene in 1965. And from 1946 to 1965, between the Feast of the Trumpets and the Feast of the Atonement, the ministry of the Son of Man being revealed to take the bride of the earth so Joseph could make himself known to his brothers in the Feast of the Atonement. Hallelujah. And during that time, Israel, not Son of God, Son of Man was being revealed. In the Feast of Pentecost was Son of God. But between the Feast of the Trumpets and Feast of the Atonement is Son of Man being reincarnated in human flesh in the last days. Hallelujah! And the bride must be changed to go off the scene. Amen! So Moses and Elijah could appear and bring the last trumpet to make no cries to the Jews. So notice something. We see Son of Man being revealed in Genesis, in the Feast of Leviticus, upon the earth, in the Gospels. Amen. Every time before the resurrection. And it was promised to be revealed in the last days, according to Revelation 10, between the sixth and seventh trumpet. And that is what we have seen. A prophet, a man, came and took the scriptures that Jesus spoke in the first person. Amen. After he saw them three poles of Jesus' ministry interpret itself and become personalized in his own life, he couldn't deny that. He couldn't try to preach another message. Amen. That was the word that had been manifested in his flesh. It was the time for it. It was in the season of God's word. It was written in the Bible. He was chosen by God. It was being vindicated. He had those five masks. Hallelujah. And it proved that was the hour. Amen. When that scripture was coming to pass, he taught that robbery to be equal with God. Hallelujah! Because he knew God in the person was having preeminences being revealed in human flesh to reveal the Son of Man. Amen. And he took that scripture where Jesus said, I will come again in the last day. And he expresses revelation. Though it was spoken in the first person, in the corporal body, it was being revealed in the mystical body, in human flesh. Don't you realize the scripture that identifies us was spoken by Jesus in the first person? There would have to be a people on the earth in this hour. That is what the message came for. It's not a joiner group. It's Christ. Personal vindication. Christ in you, the individual. That is the mystery. God having preeminences in you.
Amen.
That day you will know I am in my Father, and my Father in me, and I in you, and you in me. When Jesus came in the first coming, shout, voice, and trump was revealed and manifested in the corporal body. Amen. But in the second coming, in the bride coming, in the bride age, when he comes in the bride form, hallelujah! Did Brother Branham reveal that a bride age? Did he reveal that a bride coming of Christ? Did he reveal he would be in the bride form, in the bride age, in the bride coming?
Amen.
Amen.
Glory.
When he comes to call the bride out of the denomination, a resurrection out of organizational graves, when he comes to bring them out of literal graves, when it comes the last day, it will not be them doing it. It'll be he, the living bread, who comes down from heaven. Hallelujah! A people who knows that Revelation 10:1, amen, that was veiled in Revelation 10:7, is now veiled in another mask. Revelation 10:8-11, a little group of the true seed, and they know it is he and them fulfilling his own word. He left for this time.
Amen.
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 I can't see the message no other way. Amen. There must be a people who is predestinated to quicken these words and bring them to life and make it live. Hallelujah! And they will have the testimony in their own flesh to show that they are redeemed. It was in Genesis. It was in the seventh feast. It was here in the earth. And it's here in the last days. Shout, voice, and trump in the first coming was revealed in the corporal body. But in the second coming, it's in human flesh, in the redeemed body, the mystical body.
Amen.
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 Amen. We're both finished. So notice, in that day, when Jesus descends, in that day, he said, that day you will know. What day? When Jesus descends in the second coming to do all three things under the seventh seal, the shout, the voice, and the trump in the mystical body, you will know. As I was in the Father and the Father in me, when was he in the Father and the Father in him? When he did those three things in the corporal body. But in that day, you will know I in you and you in me. When he comes to do it again in the mystical body.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
Same ministry of the Son of Man, reincarnated. Amen. In bright form.
Amen.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Let's give you these couple quotes and close. Discernment of spirit. You discern my spirit tonight. Amen. See what I'm trying to achieve. Amen. You are commanded by God and a vindicated prophet to discern my spirit. Amen. I stand before you for discernment tonight. Amen. Page 8. Now the Spirit of God working in man makes man act like God. No wonder Jesus said, is it not written, you are God? And if they call them God, to whom the Spirit of God came to, how can you condemn me when I am the Son of God? If you can see the Spirit of God in Moses, which he was a God, Moses was a God, Joseph was a God, the prophets were gods, the Bible said they were gods. They had completely surrendered themselves to the Spirit of God, that they were working for the glory of God. And when a man is so anointed with the Spirit, now he said, now let that go real deep under the fifth rib, check it 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, and let go in there on the left side. When a man is anointed of the Spirit of God, his habits, his actions, and everything is God moving in him. Sometimes he is misjudged. What made them stone Jesus? When he said, I and my Father is one. What confused the people? Amen. When he identified himself in the scripture, and the bride is part of the bridegroom, and the bridegroom is the word, and the bride is part of that word. Amen. Page 11. He said, now we see all those prophets speaking. Every one of them was glorifying God and the coming Messiah. And when they got in the Spirit, they acted and spoke and lived their life out just like the Messiah did. When they got in the Spirit, no wonder the prophet says, I'll ride this trail one more time. Amen! Act like God. When I take every spirit under my control, act like God. I wonder if the bride will have to stand there. I wonder if I down the road, or if we have had 20 years to come to this place. I wonder if the hour, when like he knew it, we would know it the same way. Because the same Holy Spirit, with the same word, and the same kind of people, and the same kind of hour, amen, must know, I knew and you in me. Could we come to a spoken word ministry to say, if you say, without knowing I knew, amen. We must first know he that is in you. Amen! I knew and you in me. Before we can even talk about the spoken word. Amen. And when our amnesia leaves us, we will know as we were known. If it, he says, they got in the Spirit, they acted and spoke and lived their life out just like Messiah did. Get it now? If he did that side of the cross, under the dispensation, when was God above us, the Ethiopian eunuch was baffled when he read Isaiah. He said, of whom speaketh the prophet this? Of himself or somebody else? Amen. Look at David. They pierced my hands and feet. Amen. And that was God above us. If they did that side of the cross, how much more? How much more will it be after his coming? We'll put the Spirit of Messiah
in the church to act, to do, to walk, and to live like Messiah. It's the Spirit of God. Page 6. Just take the minister today, he says. If he has the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he knows that if he preaches the word, it's going to cut his fame down. It's going to put him in a little bitty church somewhere, or maybe out in the street. But he knows that something in his heart is burning. He sees the coming of the Lord. Hallelujah! The seventh seal. He sees Revelation 10. He sees 1 Thessalonians 4. He doesn't care whether he has a big church or a little church. He doesn't care whether he has today food or not, no food. He doesn't care whether he has good clothes or he doesn't have good clothes. He's only mindful of one thing. And that's the very life within him. Crying out. He's trying to achieve something for the glory of God. And that man, in doing so, will act the very life of the Spirit that's in him. Hallelujah! Hallelujah! That man in this hour will have the life of the Holy Ghost, the prophet that came to do all three things. Hallelujah! He cannot help but stepping forward and anoint those things, knowing it's spoken for this hour. If the prophet anointed those things in his life that Jesus spoke in the first person, Paul anointed and applied to himself what Isaiah said about Jesus and what Simeon said about Jesus about being a light to the Gentiles. And Jesus never went to the Gentiles. Amen. And he told the disciples, go to the lost sheep of the house of Israel first. Amen. But one day, in AD 53, when the prophet put the church age to begin, when Paul began his missionary journey, when he dusted his feet and said, lo, we turn to the Gentiles. Hallelujah! He said, God, who separated me from my mother's womb to reveal his son in me, that I might preach him who has been revealed in me to the Gentiles. And amen. And he said, mine. He was to make all men see the fellowship of that mystery. Hallelujah.
Yes, sir.
And he applied those things that was spoken to Jesus in his life. Amen.
Amen.
Then the prophet came and took what Jesus spoke in the corporal body, in the first person, and stepped out and applied those things to his very own life. And he left a portion for you and me. And you would have to step out and have faith in your revelation. You would have to act upon your own inspiration. Hallelujah! You'll have to compare your life to see if it is matching those things in continuity to the prophet that was prophesied to be fulfilled before the resurrection. Hallelujah! And see if it is coming to life. Then you know I in you and you in me. Hallelujah! Then there's a bride standing ready to take the word and hand it there. Amen. Let's all stand to our feet. Amen. What an hour that we have come down to. I, not Luther, not Wesley, not Pentecostals. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Amen. That voice of the archangel, the voice of the resurrection, that mystery between the shout and the trump, between the Gentile prophet and the Jewish prophet, is what will bring God's sleeping ones out of the grave. Hallelujah! At the last trumpet, and six trumpets have already sounded, and beaten the second seven trumpet, a mighty angel descended from heaven with a message. Hallelujah! And from 1965 to 1986 is unfolding into something else. But this is the secret the bride knows. It is he and her. And she knows what he wants done with the word. She will be the final voice to the final age. Hallelujah! When this bride comes to perfection, it will bring that resurrection. Hallelujah! Then could we say tonight, I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Hallelujah! He is standing on the earth in his bride, getting ready to raise them up at the last day. He called us out by the prophet, and the prophet went in the grave. If the prophet hadn't gone, we wouldn't have come out of the organization. But he came and brought us out of the organization. Now he's depending on us to bring him out of the grave. Amen! And that resurrection out of dark denominationalism that went on for the past 23 years is fading out. And another resurrection is being ushered in. Hallelujah! Glory! There is a bride who knows that she is the resurrection, that she is the life, that she is the way, that she is the truth. Hallelujah! There is a bride, there is a people upon the earth who knows they're standing here. It has brought them to a perfect faith. This message have rubbed her knees out and put the mind of Christ in you. And she knows that she's the second fold of that threefold mystery. Amen. Let us all bow our heads and close our eyes. Thank you, Jesus. Glory to your name. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah. Glory to your name. Oh, God, we praise you. We glorify your name tonight, Father. How great thou art. How true is thy word. How true is thy presence. You stand here to confirm thy truth, to make it real, to make it plain, to make it live in the hearts of your children, Lord. These whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You express attributes manifested in a physical body today. Oh God, you cannot fellowship with your thoughts no more, but Lord, you are fellowshipping with your thoughts made manifest today. Jehovah existing with his family. Hallelujah. Oh God, in this last junction before the millennium, in this great gathering time, Father, when we enter into a rapture in grace, when we are beginning to see face to face, no more darkly in a mirror, anointed and commissioned to do your perfect will. Hallelujah. We know you are here tonight. That angel with the swept back wings, he's the one that means the most. Oh God, we thank you, Father. Hallelujah. You are the living bread of life that has come down from heaven. You are that angel, that archangel that brings the resurrection. Oh God, Father, take our lives as we lay them on the altar. Lord, we make ourselves available unto you as we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God. Oh, I pray tonight in the name of Jesus Christ, Father, that the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Jesus Christ will flow to the people. Oh God, it will fill every heart tonight, Lord. You don't be understanding of them. Oh God, they'll be halting, beating their opinions. Then they cast themselves in the world. Them, oh God, they might be like a wandering star. May your spirit, Lord, move to this congregation. You know where you plant your seed, Lord. Pour the water of salvation. Pour the water of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, in them that are quickened, may transforming power be energized to keep transforming them into the image of your word. I pray, oh God, tonight, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, Lord God Almighty, bless them, Lord. Touch your people once again with your precious healing hand, Lord. Oh God, break the fetters, the shackles of the mind. Let them dig deep and get in the spirit of revelation, Lord. Oh God, let the word become personalized in their hearts and lives. Let them recognize the position. Let them come to a place where all the make-believe is rubbed out. They won't try to work on emotion, but it'll work, oh God, by the laws of faith. Hallelujah. Lord, grant you, Father, we thank you, Jesus. We praise you, Lord. We glorify you. We give you honor and glory. Oh God, sweep over our souls, Lord. Sweep down upon the people. Fill them afresh, Lord. Bring fresh revelation, fresh inspiration, fresh anointing, Lord. Oh God, we could stand in our God-given place and live, hallelujah, in our true privileges of a son of God. Planted, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, I ask you for your people, Lord. God bless us in the coming services. Meet with us in a special way. Oh God, and speak to us. Open your word more and more, and let faith be lifted in a higher bracket, Father. It's coming to that third pole, Lord. It's near that hour. The door seems to be closed. But I pray you'll give a total deliverance to the hearts of the children. Grant it, Lord Jesus. Grant it, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.
Holy Ghost, now. Let us be and let us be. Let us remain as it is. We are allowed to pass. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.